Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to see you this morning. Hello to the families next door. I want to say hello to Laura, who's been tuning in online since this whole thing went down at the beginning of the year. She sent a card to us this week just saying thanks for making it possible for us to watch from home. So, hi, Laura, and everybody else that's at home watching. We're humbled that we get to continue to preach the Word of God and point to Jesus here and wherever this goes. Through the interwebs. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. If you're new to our church or you're just joining us online for the first time, we've been walking through this series in Revelation. We have this firm conviction that Jesus is Lord over all creation and that he calls us into relationship with him and that the scriptures reveal to us who he is and what he calls us to. And so every time we get together in a setting like this, we begin our time by singing about God, by turning our hearts to God, by being grateful for who he is. And it's really getting our hearts in the right position to receive. And then we pray, as Kenneth prayed, Lord, help our hearts to be able to receive what you want to say to us. And then we open the Bible and we say, Lord, speak to us through the scriptures. That's what we do when we get together. And lately, we've been looking at these first few chapters in the book of Revelation, a letter written by John relaying these words of Jesus to seven churches, seven communities gathered around what's modern-day Turkey. And today, we are coming to the end of the series. So if you're just joining us, this is the seventh week. I recommend going back. Hasn't it been good and like hard, too, though, like walking through the churches of Revelation during this time? The Lord's been doing something really special. And so we're on the seventh church, the church in Laodicea, and I want to begin by looking at the introduction. This is chapter 3, verse 14. We're going to start there and read just the first verse, 14. It says this, write this letter to the church, to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. So in this introduction, Jesus defines himself in three specific ways. First, he says that he is the one who is the Amen. This word is not foreign to us. You're familiar with the word Amen? Amen. We use this word all the time in church, and you probably use this at home when you're praying over your food. We say this when we agree with something. We say this, like if I was to say Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, all God's people would say, Amen. We're putting a stamp on it. We're saying that's true. So be it. Yes, I agree with what's going on. That's how we close our services. And so Jesus identifies himself as the one who brings things to a conclusion. He's the final say. He's the one who makes things come to pass. He's the one who is the Amen. That's the first way he describes himself. Second way he describes himself is the one who is faithful, the faithful and true witness. From the very beginning, we were created in the image of God to carry his likeness. You and I were created for that, to reflect his goodness, to reflect his character, to be a witness to his majesty and his glory. But to summarize thousands of years of history in a sentence, humanity has been incredibly unfaithful and false witnesses to the glory of God. Would you agree? And so here, Jesus distinguishes himself as the one who is set apart, the one who lived in our world as an accurate and true reflection of who God is. The only faithful and true witness. So if we want to know who God is, if you're curious, like, how does he speak? What does he say? Where does he spend his time? What does he do? You just look at Jesus. Because he is the accurate, the perfectly accurate description of who God is. He is the faithful and true witness. The only faithful and true witness. The last phrase he uses to describe himself is, he's the beginning of God's new creation. So not only is he the one who brings all things to completion, he is the Amen. Not only is the one who walked amongst us and he's the perfect reflection of the heart and character and nature of God, he's also the beginning of all things. He's the beginning of all things that God does on the earth. Jesus says, I am all things from the very beginning all the way through time to the very, very end. That's quite an introduction. And that's just the introduction. But for any of these words that we're going to read in Revelation and really throughout any of this series or any of the scripture that we read, we do have to kind of make a decision. Because for any of these words to be relevant or applicable to our lives, we have to decide if we believe that this is true about Jesus or not. If we don't believe that he is really the beginning and the end of all things, that in him is the meaning of life itself, that he's the one that brings all things to completion, if we don't believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if that's not a decision that we make in our hearts, then these words that we're about to read, they'll just go in one ear and right out the other. Because if he's not that, then honestly, it's no different than going home this afternoon, picking up a fiction book and reading it. It might be entertaining, but it's not going to transform your life. If we do believe that Jesus is who he says he is, then every word that comes out of his mouth is life itself. Everything that he says, everything that he does, we should just hang on and focus on and ask questions about and pursue. These words can lead to transformation. Let me illustrate it this way. Let's say that I'm a delivery man today. And I've been tasked to deliver this package to your home. And in this box is the fullness of life. Like, if you were to open this box, you would experience the fullness of joy. You would understand who you are fully. You would know what you're called to. Like, in this box, you would unpack and discover just the richness of life, the meaning of life, the fullness of life. It's all right here in this box. And the moment you open it, everything changes for you. And so let's say on Monday morning, I get into my delivery truck, and I load this box into the back of my delivery truck, and I may have broken a little bit of protocol. I actually opened it up, so I know what's in it. And I'm coming to your house, and I am stoked, because I'm coming to your house with the best thing that's ever happened to you. And so I'm excited, and I show up at your door, and your dog starts barking at me. I can smell breakfast cooking, and I'm like ready to eat whatever you got going on inside. And I come to the door, I can hear kids playing in the backyard, and I'm so excited, and I trigger your Ring doorbell, and so I pop up on your phone, and here I am, just standing at your door holding this box, super stoked. And I go up to the door, and I figured you'd seen me already on your Ring doorbell, you didn't come, so I start rapping on your door. No response. I know what's in this thing, so I'm like ready to give this to you. Knock on the door, no response. The dog starts like jumping at the window, rapping on the door, no response. And I realize, after 5 minutes of knocking on the door, you're well aware of my presence at your house. You just don't want what I have. You know I'm there, but you're choosing to ignore me and to not open the door. Like, it's a choice that you've made. Now, hold on to that visual. We're going to talk about this church in Laodicea and read what Jesus has to say. I want to show you our map. We've kind of looked at this over and over again to kind of see where we are historically and where these churches line up. You can see all the other churches that we've talked about on this map and the island of Patmos kind of over to the west. A couple things to note. You can see this red line that kind of connects. Everybody see the line that connects the cities? This would have been a highway that connects each of these cities. And Laodicea was kind of at a juncture where the road kind of went north and then the road went kind of south. And being at this juncture made it a pretty important and valuable city. And these roads, they went right through the heart of the town. It's like, think about Highway 20 here in Oak Harbor. Like, you don't have to get off Highway 20 to turn into Oak Harbor. You're like in it when you're on it, okay? This is true of this road. It passed through the city. So we've got a picture of this road. You can go there and walk this today. Pretty beautiful thing that they've uncovered. And so this road passed right through the city of Laodicea. And just like the other cities that we've studied, it became a great city because of where it was located. And being situated at this juncture made it a resourcing city. And so it would supply various things to various cities around the area. There was a medical community here. There was a hospital. There was a training facility in this town. There was a banking center that serviced kind of the area. They were known for this production of black wool. It was kind of a fashion center. And so all of these things were here in Laodicea during the time of Jesus. And it was a pretty wealthy little town. They were self-sufficient. In fact, they prided themselves in, we have everything that we need. If you needed money, there was a way to get a job and get it. If you needed clothes, they had the best. Like, you were looking prim and proper in this town. If you need medical attention, they had it. You just go to it's like right there. The hospital's right there. You don't got to drive far. You never really needed to leave the city. Everything you needed was right there. So much so that in the first century, we talked about this in previous weeks, there was an earthquake, massive earthquake in this area that leveled almost all of the cities in the area. And Rome, who's in charge at the time, is looking at a crumbled kingdom that they're overseeing, and they start sending resources to all the cities to help rebuild. Laodicea says, no thanks, we're totally good. We're self-sufficient. Almost all the other towns receive this kind of help. But Laodicea said, we're good. We'll take care of ourselves. We don't need your help. So what did Jesus have to say to believers in this city with this history? Let's read it together, picking up in verse 15. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So, I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that's been purified by fire. Then you'll be rich. Also, buy white garments from me so you'll not be shamed by your nakedness, and ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Maybe we should just take the next, 15 minutes and just sit on that in silence. What we see are two very different evaluations. The first is the Christians in Laodicea, when they evaluated themselves, they thought that they had it all. And in some ways, they did. They had jobs to pay their bills. They had a Target and a Home Depot. That they could just go to the store to get what they needed. They got to grab their Starbucks on the way to work in the morning. They were able to dress in the latest fashions. Someone got sick, they didn't have to go far. The hospital was right down the street. They were living the dream. They were literally living the dream. And Jesus says to them, you think you are rich and have everything you need. But there's another evaluation, the evaluation of Jesus, and his was a little different. When Jesus evaluated their lives, he came up with a different conclusion. His conclusion was that they had all the world had to offer, but they had lost the most important thing, him. They had lost who they were in him. They had lost their passion and connection to him. They had lost their identity as followers of Jesus. Their life no longer welcomed the presence of Jesus, because they had no need for him. Kind of like when they shut the door to Rome's help because they were self-sufficient. They had shut the door to Jesus because they were doing fine on their own. their passions and their desires and their hopes were caught up in the comforts of the world and not Jesus. Now, these words, this is so complex. This, out of all of them, out of all the messages in Revelation, this is the hardest one to pull together a message because there's so many things that Jesus is saying. And I trust every time I get up here and preach that there's things that Jesus is talking to you about that are not even in these notes because that's who he is. He loves you that much. But listen to this. Let's look at some of the history surrounding it. It'll just give some depth to his words. I want to bring the map back up of the area. You can see on this map, just north of Laodicea, that there's a town just north. And then there's a town to the south. See those there? Hierapolis and Colossae. These were towns that were popular for various reasons. These were towns that had special things in their town that you would go to this city just for that special thing. And I'm going to list what those are. First, I want to go north to Hierapolis, which is modern-day Pamukkale. Say that together. Pamukkale. If you want to go on a special trip, you can fly there today. The tourism industry would love you. First picture I want to show you is from Laodicea, like near the road that we just saw a picture of, and it's looking north. And in this picture, you can see kind of over those pillars, see that white area kind of looks like snow up there? That is Hierapolis. That's the town of Hierapolis. And here's what that white thing is. I want to show you a picture of it. Next picture. That is some thermal pools, natural occurring thermal, like it's basically nature's hot tub. It's naturally occurring. You can go there, like literally look it up after church. You can take your family there and go sit in nature's hot tub. This place was known for these hot springs. And in the medical community, they just found that it was good for all kinds of ailments. And so they'd send people there to go get in the hot tub to be refreshed by the hot tub, by these thermal pools. That's to the north. So the north, you have these hot springs. To the south, you have Colossae. And in your Bible, you have the book of Colossians. It's to this town. And Colossae was situated right next to the Lycus River, which was a spring that originated up in the mountains and flowed through the city. So this water that flowed through the city was crystal clear and refreshing and icy cold. In fact, they have uncovered so many aqueducts and tubing that went throughout all of the area, supplying this icy cold water to all the area. So, to the north, you have these hot springs where people went to be refreshed by sitting in these thermal pools. And to the south, you had this town that was known for its icy, fresh, refreshing water. And then you have Jesus in the middle talking to Laodicea. And here's what he tells them. You are neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. Like you've lost your essence. Like these cities are known for these things. Like I don't even know what you're known for. You're lukewarm. And blah, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I mean, that visual is interesting. Imagine I invited you over to my house this afternoon. You came over. It would be very common if you came to my house, if you've been to my house, I'd ask you, can I get you something to drink? Can I make you a coffee? And then I would ask you, would you like a hot coffee or a iced coffee? I don't think it has ever come out of my mouth. Hey, do you mind if I, would you like a lukewarm cup of coffee? Anybody been offered that somewhere? We specialize in lukewarm. Jesus says, I come to your city and it's like you don't even care that I'm here. You treat me like, oh, shoot, go grab the drinks we left in the back of the truck that are, give them something to drink. There's no hospitality, there's no intentionality, there's no identity in who they were. Jesus says, you're lukewarm. And his instruction is to turn back to him, to renew their passion for him, to find themselves in him again. And if you notice the list, We talked about all the things that Laodicea was known for, like a medical community and clothing. Look at what Jesus says to them. He says almost verbatim for each of those things, like, come to me and I will give you these things. He says, you think you have it all, but you don't have anything. Come to me and I will provide for all of your needs. It's instruction again is to turn back to him. So let's bring it home for us today. When Jesus shows up in our city, when Jesus shows up to our community of faith, when Jesus shows up in your home, when Jesus, the one who has eyes like fire and feet like bronze, the one who is the amen and the beginning and the faithful and true witness, when you're sitting across the table from him and he's looking directly into your eyes, is he refreshed by the way you live before him? Is he welcome in your home? Is he welcome in your lifestyle? Does he find himself making sense in the way that you live, the one who is faithful and true? That's a tough question. Have we, like Laodicea, become too focused on our personal comforts and privileges? Have we become too devoted to securing our futures and gaining the approval of others? Have we been too interested in what we wear, who we hang out with, our advancements, modern medicine, should I say, the election of certain people? When Jesus looks into our soul, does he see a desperation and a hunger for his heart? Does he see a desperation to make him known? Again, these are difficult questions. And honestly, I have a hard time trusting my own evaluation of myself. And I would recommend that you have a hard time evaluating yourself too. Because guess what? Laodicea, they thought they were awesome. They needed Jesus to come and have a few words. Anybody else this morning? I don't trust the evaluation of this heart. I need somebody who's got a better view, and that person is Jesus. And that's why we have hope. The good news is Jesus wants to help. He shows up. He loves you. These are his words, not mine. And when he shows up to correct and discipline, he does so because he loves you. He loves you. That is such good news. Back to our first illustration. The mailman's at your house, and the package, it's not some sort of kind of get-rich scheme or medical marvel or retirement package. The package is a person. It's Jesus. The package is a person. Everything that you need has come to your door. All your hopes, all the things you long for, the peace that you crave, the joy that transcends your circumstance, he's the one who can give you meaning and life and wholeness, all of that. He's the one who can restore your soul. He's the one who can strengthen your weary bones. And he's at the door. Listen, verse 20, continuing. Jesus says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. This is such good news. Jesus is at the door because he loves us. Who's thankful for that today? He's knocking. And he's saying, welcome me in. I will come and dwell with you. I'll dine with you. And we'll have a talk. And I'll help you see. And I'll strengthen what's weak. And I'll give hope when you're where you're hopeless. And I'll restore your joy. And I'm knocking. Just welcome me in. He doesn't give the church, at least in Laodicea, he doesn't give them 10 steps to wellness. he doesn't give them, here's 5 ways to fix your problems through more devotion and effort. He simply says, open the door and I'll come in. Because he wants to speak to us. He wants to help us. We have to invite him in. And so here's what I'm confident of this morning. He's at the door. He's knocking. And that is regular. He is so faithful and gracious and merciful and kind that he pursues us even when we're not pursuing him. And he's just standing at the door. And he's knocking. Do we welcome him in? He wants to share life with us. He loves you more than you can possibly even know. Like, we can't comprehend how much he loves us. I mean, the cross, it demonstrates for us the depth of his love. But we can't comprehend it. It's beyond our comprehension how much we are loved. And so if you're here this morning, and maybe right now, I can imagine there's plenty of things that are about like this. And Jesus is knocking at the door. And he's saying, open up. Let me in. I'll guide you. I'll strengthen you. Next service, we're going to baptize 4 people. And these are people who have said, I welcome him in. I'm choosing to welcome him in. And there's still life to live. There's still work to do. There's still things Jesus is going to transform. It's not, you don't just wave your hand once and it's all fixed. You open the door and Jesus comes in and he begins to restore and to heal and to mend you over time because that's who he is. And so if you're here this morning and you haven't made that decision to open the door and say, I don't have all the answers. I've figured that out right quick. But if you do, come on in. That is the best decision you'll make with your life. If you're listening online, it's the same thing. If the Lord is doing something in you right now, again, it's not about having all your ducks in a row because you don't have that. It's about understanding that in our own strength, the Bible describes us as sinners. We've fallen short. We've missed the mark. We don't have what it takes. But God entered in to be the answer for our sin, to carry what we can't carry. And when we open the door and we welcome him in, he begins to heal. And so maybe you need to do that today. He's knocking on the door because he loves you. Will you pray with me? Jesus, you are too good to us. I just want to say thank you for your kindness, your patience, your gentleness, Lord, the long suffering, as you've walked with each one of us through so many seasons, through so many ups and downs, as you walk with your people right now. You are the only stabilizing force in our lives. You are King, you are Lord, you are sovereign above all things. And we choose as a community of faith to welcome you in. To say, have your way. Speak to us. Lord, we admit our evaluation of ourselves is partial. It's inaccurate. We need your evaluation. And we welcome it. We receive it today. If we need to change direction, if we need to alter anything, if there's things in our lives that need to go, it's your choice. You tell us where, and we'll go. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you continue to speak to your church. Thank you that you're faithful to your promise to continue to build the church, and that nothing can stand against what you are working out. Lord, for those today that are struggling, for various reasons, and they're hearing these words. Would your grace and would your love just fall on them right now in Jesus' name? Bring healing and restoration. You truly are the way maker. And we follow you. Guide us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Will you stand as we close in worship?